Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
And tonight, we are continuing our series of lessons on honesty. And honesty is kind of a good thing, isn't it? And I was having a conversation with the guys in the office tonight, and when I teach on this, I'm hoping that it digs deep in you because it's already dug deep in me, and I've been studying this for weeks by the time I come and present it usually, because usually we're breaking it down in two or three or four lessons, and so I'm looking at it from every angle, and as I look at it from every angle, I think about my life and where I am at with Jesus Christ and exactly where I stand as far as my attitude and my spirit and the way that I am approaching life. Is it Christ-like? And so this is lesson number two, and we're going to talk about being honest with others. Can you look at your neighbor and say, honestly? Honestly. Honestly. Now, we said last week that Mark Twain had a saying, and this is not a scripture, but he said, a man that tells a that's a liar has to have a better memory than a man that tells the truth. Because you don't just go through the Rolodex of your mind and say, what happened? And but you got to make up the story, and then you've got to, is that the story I'm sticking to? And that's part of what cross-examination is about in the courtroom. So we ended our lesson talking about the daily challenge that we have is to first say no to the flesh, second say yes to the spirit or voice of God, and then live by the principles of God's word. Honesty has some stair steps, and we're going to go through stair steps a couple of times tonight. And the stair steps to honesty is first we got to slow down and think things through. We got to look around and say, okay, what's going on? And we were talking about being honest with ourselves. Then we open our eyes and look around. We used to hear as a kid, stop, look, and listen before you cross the street. Thank you. Some of you are too young to know that one. So stop, look, and listen before you cross the street. Left, right, left. Why? Because the left, that's the closest traffic. Then you look right, that's the furthest traffic, and they're the furthest way, and then you look left again before you stop off the curb. So in life and in our spiritual relationship with God, if we'll be measured in our approach to God, most of the time we'll come out a lot better off, and then we listen. So we stop or we slow down, we look around at the circumstances, and then we listen. We listen to God, to His Word, to His voice as it speaks to us, and most of us know what the voice of God sounds like in our lives, and it sounds a little bit different to each of us. And then finally, we need to pray through the situation. Pray until God gives us an answer. I have a dear friend, Brother Grant. He's now retired. He's bishop of a large church in Madison, Wisconsin. They actually have about 1,500 people on a Sunday between their 14 churches. The main church will only seat about 600 people, and so they just started more daughter works and more daughter works so they'd have places to put people. And he told me, he said, Brother Steve, I pray every problem through. If I have a problem, I just sit down and I pray until God gives me the answer. And He may not give me the answer today, but He will eventually give me the answer to my questions. So, tonight we have a lesson not on being honest with ourselves, but being honest with each other. And our key scripture tonight is found in James chapter number 5 and verse number 16. He says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. One translation says, the passionate, consistent prayer of a righteous man avails much, or it's very effective to God. So we need to be able to confess our faults one to another. And say, pray for me, I'm struggling. Pray. And just so you know, if you come to me with a private conversation, I'm not going to preach about it. I'm not going to expose you. Now, I might preach about the problem. And you might say, ooh, wow, why are you talking to me? Well, Holy Ghost is talking to you, I hope. And the Word of God, and that's part of the reason of coming to the house of God. So we went through these stair steps last week of being honest with yourself, honest with others, and honest with God. And as we said, it's about honesty with others tonight. So we need to be honest with others. We just need to be straight up about the way the world is and the way we are especially. Honest people are wonderful to have in your life. And I'm not just talking about people that call you out on things, but people that you know when you get an answer, it's the truth. If it's not, it was an honest mistake. They thought it was the truth. And there are some times where we think we have the answer and we really did not have the answer. I like your t-shirt. Got truth. So that's what we're talking about. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to examine a few people again. And the first individual that we're going to talk about is Abraham. You know who Abraham was, right? God calls Abram, great father, and he says, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And eventually he changes his name to reflect that, Abraham. He's been promised this child, and we referred a little bit to him recently in one of our sermons, and he waits 25 years to get the promise of the child. But in the meantime, there's a whole lot of living going on, and he is a transient somewhat, but God has sent him to Canaan's land, and he says, you walk the breadth and the depth of it, and everywhere you put your foot, it's yours. I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to give it to your seed. But somewhere along the journey, he came up against tough times. Have you ever had a tough day? Ever been hungry? I am right now, but it'll be all right. I'm not starving. I'm just, my body's telling me I want something to eat. So I probably shouldn't say that because now you're going to all want to go eat. Oh boy. So, Abraham came to a point in his life where there was famine in the land. And rather than slowing down, looking around, talking to God about it, and praying through, he decided he had an ingenious solution to his problem. So he goes down to Egypt. And he decides, I'll just go make friends with the king down there, and he'll take care of me. Now, that's a big flaw, first of all, is that if God calls us someplace and plants us someplace, God's going to take care of us in the place that he planted. But we think we're smarter than God sometimes and think, well, better move on. How many have ever heard the saying, the grass is always greener on the other side? Until you got to mow it. But it just moves on and moves on. And if we're not careful, even as believers, we can think that we just got to move on. And I have gotten, at times in my life, panicked. Because I didn't have what I thought I needed. And I said, God, I think I have a solution. Follow me. Now, maybe you have not done that, but I have done that. And I thought, well, that's easy. It's obvious. And so he goes to this foreign land to be fed. And while he is there, he runs up against a problem. The problem is his wife is gorgeous. Now, how many of you, would that be a problem? Okay, I do too. But she's related to your wife, so, you know. Most guys wouldn't think having a gorgeous wife was a problem, right? It's like, so he has this beautiful wife. He goes into Egypt. And when he's there, the Pharaoh sees her and he says, she's pretty good looking. And Abraham knows she's so good looking that probably that Pharaoh is going to want to take advantage of a relationship with her. And so what happens is Pharaoh calls for Abram's wife. And I want you to see what happens when Abraham is not honest with others. So it came to pass that when he was near unto Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, his wife, "Behold now, I know that thou art a woman to look upon. Therefore, it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive." Now, what we see in this story is what the motive usually is in telling a lie. So he says, they're going to see you and you're good looking. They're not going to harm you. They're going to kill me so they can have you for their wife. And true to his word, that would happen or something similar. But he has this great solution. He says, "Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister." Ain't no way I'm going to let anybody. There's no way I'd say that to my wife. Don't say you're my sister. But it was a cultural thing. So he's a beggar. He's a needy man. And he needs bread. And he knows they're going to demand something. Well, we'll just whack that guy's head off and take his beautiful wife. He's going to die anyway. He's starving. But no, listen to the reason why. He says, "That it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee." He says, "I want you to lie to save my skin, because if you tell the truth, you'll live, but I'll die." So the motive usually in telling a lie is to protect ourselves. Occasionally we've done it or would try to do it to protect somebody we love. But ultimately it's selfish. Is we lie. Now, we mentioned last week, all liars shall find their place in the lake of fire and brimstone, which burneth with fire and brimstone forever and ever. So he goes on with what was happening. So I want us to see the stair steps in Abraham's life. Is, first of all, he's hungry and he's vulnerable. Boy, I guess it shows up. The hungry didn't show up. Oh, it's clipping that screen again. Okay, I have to remember that. So he goes to a foreign land to try to satisfy his need because he has fear. He thinks he's going to die. He thinks that God can't take care of him. When God's taken care of him for decades, by this time, all the way from Ur of the Chaldees into Canaan's land, he's traveled all over, and everywhere he's gone, God has taken care of him. I don't know why it is, but every once in a while, fear will strike in our hearts. All of us are that way. We'll be walking through life and doing just fine, and it may not be we're hungry for bread, but it may be that we're just paranoid that God is not going to supply all our needs, and so we try some illicit means, or we say, well, I'll just hold back on God, and I won't give him his part, because then I'll have a little bit more. But then we realize once we do it, it was kind of stupid. Because what we're saying is, God, I'm smarter than you. And if you'll just let me negotiate this, I can get myself out of this. But he's filled with fear. He's not sure what to do. And so it's all about self-preservation. And usually that's what happens. People lie again for self-preservation. It ends up in dishonesty. So anywhere along this pathway, we've got to examine the motives or the reason why he's in Egypt. And I have found in my life that if I'll slow down, when I'm taking the wrong step, I usually know it's the wrong step. It's just like, now, women have never dealt with this, but guys dealt with this all the time. I mentioned the other day, jump off the roof and I will. And the moment you step off, you know it was a bad decision. You knew it was a bad decision before you stepped off, but for sure when your foot left the roof, you knew it was a very bad decision. And that's what happens with us in living for God, and we can end up in a dishonest place or far from the will of God and the plan of God when we take over. Rather than saying, okay, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So, Abram's out of character. This is not normally the way he would be. So, he's trying to protect himself. So, guess what? What he thought would happen, happened. Is Pharaoh looked at Sarah and said, wow, she's pretty good looking. So she goes because he takes her, and this is what's very interesting. Obviously, she tells the lie that Abraham wants her to tell and says, I'm his sister. Yeah, I agree, Brother Mark. So it's like, wow. So now I'm going to lose my wife. But this is what is very, very interesting, is that Pharaoh paid a price. Now, you go look at it, you can read it, you can read the original text if you want to, and this is the price they paid, is there was a plague. God gave all the guys in the land hemorrhoids. I know, the Bible's pretty, isn't it? In other words, he said, I'll fix this. There's going to be no adultery here. We'll get rid of this problem. Well, this is the interesting thing, is Pharaoh woke up and realized, hey, there's something going on here. It's almost as if he was smarter than Abraham. Says, there's something wrong with this picture. Never happened before. What's going on? We got a stranger here. And so the Bible tells us that he called Abraham and he had the inquisition. What's going on here? Did you lie to me? Who's your God? How come all my guys are sick? We all got this plague. Something's going on. You better come clean with me. Now, the solution was more difficult than God's solution now was going to be more difficult for him. So this questioning goes on, and then Abraham explains, and he says, well, I was so afraid you'd kill me, and so I just had her lie. And he says, oh, really nice. So instead of you getting killed, we're all sick. And what did he say? He said, get out of here. Forget about it. You know, go away. We're done with you. So he was trying to preserve himself by lying, and it got him in worse shape than what he was in before he lied. Anybody ever experienced somebody else doing that? Nah. We can raise our hand for ourselves, can't we? It's like, wow. Ah, getting deep. Ah, ooh, don't ask. Ah, I can't go talk to them today. Wow, I hope when I'm sitting at the dinner table tonight, Dad doesn't bring it up. Mom brought it up last time. Now Dad's going to bring it up. I know one of my siblings is going to narc on me. Something's going to happen, you know, because there's always a tattletale in the midst of them, right? Right? Yeah, there's always a tattletale. But now, Abraham's worse off than he was when he started out. If he would have just stopped, looked around, he probably would have never ended up in Egypt. But even twice he went to Egypt for help. The other time he didn't get in trouble, but this time he lied. Because sometimes, well, we read about David, wasn't it on Sunday? He's in Ziklag, and he's running from King Saul, and he's in the enemy's camp, but God takes care of him because he's honest. He's not there for any wrong. He's there because of all the right that he did. So now Abraham has no protection. He has no protection from God. He has no protection from the Pharaoh. And then he is in a foreign land now. And now his land is having problem, and Egypt has plenty, and he just says, get out of here. I don't care where you go. Just get out of here. And he's still hungry. He still doesn't have enough. So the lie didn't satisfy the need. We're talking about being honest with others. And there's a stair step here. We really can't be honest with others till we're honest with ourselves. And we really can't be honest with God till we're honest with ourselves and with others. And it's kind of a tied in all together, isn't it? It's like that catch 22 thing, which came first, the chicken or the egg. You got to have them all lined up. But really, it's about self-examination tonight. And I have to do that all the time. Search me, O God, and try me. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That's part of David's prayer. He learned to live his lifestyle, or his life, saying, God, I think I know who I am, but I'm not sure if I know who I am, so you check it out and tell me who I am. And we've all had that experience where we've come into the presence of God, and it's one of those gotcha moments, huh? And we think we got it all figured out, and then there's a sneak attack by God. Well, kind of. You know, the preacher just happens to say one line and it's really not the theme of the sermon, but you think it is. Because it's a living word. It's a live word. It's amazing how that can happen, isn't it? This is something that it teaches humility to teachers and preachers. I could preach a sermon and I know what my focus is and I think I do a pretty good job of explaining what my focus is. And then sometimes after church, people will say, you know, when you said so-and-so, that blah, 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 blah. And I'm going, wow, I didn't get that at all. But they needed that. And so they got what they needed out of that passage of Scripture. So we still have a struggle. We still need God. And he was exiled from Egypt. So he says, get out of here and don't come back again. This was his second trip in. Now, this was bad. So if God had sent him there, he would have been taken care of, and he was before. So what happened is he just thought, well, I'll fix it the way God fixed it last time. But does God always do it the same way? Oh, no. Don't you hate that? You almost have to talk to him to find out what he wants. Yeah? It's the truth, though, isn't it? Because God wants it that way. He wants you and me to have to talk to him about what he wants or read his word to see what he wants. And it's not like God's trying to be cruel, but he's wanting us to depend on him because he knows that's the only way we're going to make it. I had a question to ask you. What's going to happen when eventually in North America, the United States is no longer the kind of country we grew up in? Are you still going to be able to live for Jesus? Are you still going to be able to survive? Now, some of you came from countries where you were persecuted. You came from countries where they became Muslim majorities. And now all of a sudden Christianity is on the outs and they're persecuted. And it just changed your world. But we have no assurance that we're always going to be like this in North America. We just don't have that assurance. And every time an election comes along, we think, oh no, what's going to go on? By the way, God's still in charge and it's going to be all right. He's right in this. And even if Irvin Baxter isn't around to tell us what's happening, God's still in control, you know? Because we've got to all rely on Jesus Christ, right? I need Jesus. So here's the consequences. Is Abraham harmed the house of Pharaoh that he went to for help, and Abraham risked his wife's purity and safety. Isn't that amazing that we'll risk somebody else to save our own skin sometimes? That's not a healthy thing. And then Abraham destroyed his relationship with Pharaoh that seemed to have been a good relationship, and he inconvenienced his whole house. In other words, lies don't just affect me if I lie, right? I don't know what it is about our humanity that sometimes we think everything's just going to be a secret sin, right? the enemy wants us to think that is that, don't worry. You're not going to hurt anybody. This won't hurt anybody, but it is amazing what our actions can do to harm others. Basically, what he did is he blew up his life. What would have happened if Pharaoh would have taken Sarah? Would there have been an Isaac? Huh? We don't know what would have happened. We have no clue what would have happened. Maybe she would have conceived by the Pharaoh and we would have had a problem here. So here's the lesson. Be honest with others about your position. We don't have to lie and say everything's all right when everything's not all right, right? If we say, we don't even have to tell the dirty details. We just have to say, just pray for me. I'm struggling right now. I'm discouraged right now. I'm needy right now. Pray for me. It's really, I'm under the gun. It's pressure filled right now. And then kill your pride. Just run it through with a sword. Because really, this is the craziest thing. Remember the story of the emperor that had no clothes? Remember the story? You remember that story? Brother Anthony told that one time in church. And it was about an emperor who he had his tailor and his designer, and they'd make all these clothes for him, and everybody, he was saying, how does it look? It looks fine, it looks fine, it looks fine, it looks fine. Well, he kind of got crossways with the tailor, and eventually the tailor sewed him an invisible set of clothes. But everybody else kept telling the emperor that, hey, it looks good, it looks good, it looks fine. And so the emperor was so confused because he was so reliant on others' opinion of himself that he thought, well, I must be crazy. They can't all be crazy. It must be me. And so he went out on the parade with no clothes until some little kid said, hey, look, the emperor has no clothes. And the little kid was honest about it. It's amazing how brutally honest kids can be, huh? I have one of my grandkids. You know, if you're not careful, she'll say, your breath stinks. And she's not trying to be mean or cruel. It's just like, Poppy, your breath stinks. So you always make sure that your breath doesn't stink when you're around here because she'll tell it. Kids are crazy that way, aren't they? They'll just say it right out loud. Or you're getting fat. You know, I'm just saying things they've said to me. You know, it's just like, your hair's falling out. It's getting gray. It's like, how come? And they ask these questions because they're just seeing, and they're not trying to be mean, and it's not like that's all bad. One of them said, I don't want to get old. Why? Because then I'll be wrinkly like you. Well, keep it up and you won't. You know, it's like... But we need to kill our pride and just be honest. We live in a crazy world, don't we, where some people have no shame and then everybody's afraid to be honest. So don't try to save yourself. Whoops, let God do it. So if we'll slow down, stop, look, and listen, God will tell you exactly what to do. And this has always been my policy, and usually it works because I've gone ahead of God sometimes, is that I wait until... If I don't have an answer, I'm going to wait until God gives me an answer. Why? Because if I get ahead of God, I could end up in some place like Abraham was. And then it's like, try to get yourself out of that situation, will you? So sometimes you cannot provide for yourself. And it's meant to be that way. Is that we have all been there. And some of you might be there right now where you're saying, now, how is this going to work out? I have no clue. And the just shall live by. Oh, thank you. You guys are pretty smart, huh? What is faith? The substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. So don't be shocked if sometimes you don't see the answer, if sometimes you don't see the provision, if sometimes you don't know what to do. Just keep walking, because it's a faith walk. And let's be honest with each other when we don't know what to do, so our brothers and sisters can pray for us so we do know what to do. That's what this year's been all about, hasn't it? What are we going to do now? Well, what are we going to do now? Well, what should we have done? No, what are we going to do now? And it just keeps, the goalposts keeps changing all the time. And we don't know what's going to happen in our world. We don't know what's going to happen politically. We don't know what's going to happen economically. We don't know, we can, you can listen to one news station that says one thing and another says another thing. And you know, the stock market went up. And so traditionally when the stock market goes up, that means the incumbent's going to get reelected. But sometimes the stock market's gone up and the incumbent is lost. And then others on the other station are saying, well, the stock market went up. That's because they're selling off on Wall Street and they're making a lot of money on Main Street. And, you know, everybody has an opinion. But it's not about politics and it's not about the economy of this world, but it's about our relationship with God. Abraham probably should have just stayed put. Because after all, God could rain down manna from out of heaven, couldn't he? God could just make it appear on his table. We know that. So James chapter number 5 and verse 13 through 15 says this. Are you hurting? Pray. Do you feel great? Sing. Are you sick? Call the church leaders together to pray and anoint you with oil in the name of the Master. Believing prayer will heal you, and Jesus will put you on your feet. And if you have sinned, you'll be forgiven and healed inside and out. Now this is the one, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them anoint with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if he's committed any sin, it shall be forgiven him. That's a different way of looking at it, isn't it? So what we see is, hey, if you're hurting, pray. If you feel great, sing. It doesn't say sing if you're hurting. It says pray if you're hurting. It doesn't say pray if you feel good. It says pray if you're hurting. So it's all right for life to have emotional swings in it. It's all right to cry and laugh, and sometimes at the same time. Because God has given us those emotions. God has planted us here where we're at. So there's a process that we can go through. If you have trouble, there is answer. The process is, hey, if you're sick, pray. If you have a need, pray. If you're running out of money and you're doing the best you can, pray. If you've tried the best you can with all your relationships in your family and your kids are still being rebellious, pray. If you're still being rebellious, pray, pray, pray. Why? There's a solution. When there's a need, you take it to God in prayer. Not once does it say in Abraham's story in this part that he asked God what to do. It just says, I'm hungry, don't have any bread. They have bread. I go to where there's bread. But that's not where God wanted him, obviously, and he backed him out of that. The second thing we need to do is, if we're happy, sing. We need to learn to rejoice in the Lord. We need to learn to celebrate the good things in life amidst the bad things. We can't have Eeyore days every day, right? Eeyore. You know, sometimes we like walking around the 100-acre wood. And then we hate Tigger, ding, 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 because he's always happy. And somewhere the wise old owl has the balance in the middle of the 100-acre woods. But what I think he's trying to say is, and Christopher Robin is, and that story is, that there's a balance in life. There's times to rejoice and there's times to weep. And there's time together and there's time to cast away. There's a time for everything. There's a time and a purpose to every season under heaven, right? So we just ought to learn how to respond to it. And you know what the beauty of it is? Is when we're weeping, usually there's somebody rejoicing, and they'll weep with us and end up rejoicing with us. That's why we tell of the things that are happening. Another testimony I got later about healing is Brother Ben hasn't been able to smell since he had COVID, but God restored his sense of smell last week in church. Thank God for that, huh? Is that God is healing people with regularity. Another testimony, I forgot about this, Sister Yogita, her retinas were detaching. She went to the doctor. Her vision had gone to 20/45, and it's back to 20/25, and everything's going good. So thank God for that. Isn't God good? We rejoice in that. That's something to celebrate. You say, oh, yes, we weep with those who weep, and we weep with the loss of Irvin Baxter, and I've contacted my friend, Brother Scott Sistrunk, his son-in-law already, and we're praying for you. We're weeping with you, but yet there's others, babies being born. And every once in a while in the summertime, I'm standing outside, and I see the hearse heading up the hill toward the... And I said, you know, somebody's world is turned upside down right now, and I'm standing here in the sunshine. That's just not right. It doesn't seem that. But for each of us, our world moves through seasons. And if there is a tough time, pray. God will supply all our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He'll take us to that next level. And then the Bible says, if you're sick, don't just pray, but anoint them with oil. Now, a story was told to me some time ago, and we haven't been doing this as often as maybe we should, but I will tell you that the Sunday before Thanksgiving, I'm going to preach on healing. Because that's part of what Calvary is about, but we're going to talk about physical healing, God healing our bodies. So that's going to come up. And this is an interesting story, Brother Scott. How many of you know Tim Scott? Used to attend church here. How many of you knew Fred, his dad? Yeah, some of you. Boy, you guys are, you that old, Corey? Wow. So, Brother Fred Scott would have been 100, I think, now if he'd have lived. But when Brother Sponsler died, I asked Brother Fred Scott to be my pastor. So, you know, I said, if you knew Fred Scott, he was very direct, much more direct than his son, Tim. And I'd say, now, if I'm doing something wrong, I want you to correct me. Oh, I will. And he would, and there were times where he called me, and he was a great man. But I remember him telling me of pastoring in Wisconsin years ago, back in the 50s, I think. No, it was probably in the 40s. And he said, the previous church, I'd had very few people get healed. But he said, I decided when I got to the new church, I'm going to do what God's word says. So I began to preach to the people, and he says, listen, if you're sick and I know it, I'm not coming to pray for you unless you call me. So he said, just so you know, that's my policy. I'm not going to run you down. And that might sound cruel, but it's like, hey, we go to the doctor. If our wife makes us go to the doctor, we don't listen to him anyway. Right? In fact, my doctor told me last time I was there that he doesn't listen to his doctor. So I felt a little bit better. But he told me everybody he prayed for in that 3-year period was healed. Because he says, if you're sick, call for the elders, we'll anoint, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, or you'll be healed. So you see the process. If there's a need, you bring it to Jesus. Take it to him. Pray over it. If you need a job, a better job, don't just go down the list on the internet, but pray and say, God, you lead me to the right place. How many of you have ever had a boss from hell? You don't want another one. So take your time and pray. Well, that maybe was kind of a rude statement, but how many of you were the... No. Okay. Yeah. Is that we've just got to pray, because God knows exactly that company makeup. He knows how fast you'll progress. He knows the interactions you'll have with fellow employees. He knows who's hungry for truth that you might be able to influence. God knows those things. And For instance, when we first came to Portland, we borrowed a car. We had a bunch of beat-up furniture. I didn't have a job, and most of the time, the bills got paid the day of or 30 days later the day of, you know, whatever that is. And it was really tight for initially. And I had been promised a job. And finally I said, okay, God, I'm going to go out and apply for a job. And you tell me where to go and I'll take the first job I'm offered. Well, I went and applied for jobs. And later I said I was kind of dumb because the first job I got offered was worth about half what I thought I was worth. But I got this job, and I worked there for several months, and eventually I got raise after raise, and eventually they couldn't give me a raise, and I got an offer from somebody else and went to work. But those 2.5 months I spent at that one place, I met an individual. And when I left that place, he said, Scott said, Steve, if they ever need a painter, you call me. And so it was Scott Clickinger. And we worked together, Brother Michael and Scott and I. And so when they needed a painter, I told him. And Scott came in and applied, and they hired him. Well, the problem with Scott was he was a drug addict. He was a good painter, but he was a drug addict. Eventually, I got Bible studies with him and his wife. And he was ready, but his wife didn't want anything to do with God. And so he backed away. And he eventually ended up in bad shape drug-wise, and then I ran, and then eventually I was able to teach him a home Bible study, and I baptized him in Jesus' name. Eventually, he moved to Idaho, and he did receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, he died of liver failure just a few years ago, but the key, what I'm saying, is that I prayed and said, God, you send me where I need to go, and the job I got was half of what the job was that I got 3 months later, but God sent me there for that one soul. I hope to God, if it was me, somebody would be willing to go to work at that place to minister to me. You see, God has appointments for you and I. That's why we pray over our needs, because God will answer. Don't get impetuous. And some of us are more impetuous than other people. I want to read the Message translation of James 5 and 16. Make this your common practice. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you can live together whole and healed. Whole and healed. He said, if you don't tell somebody you have a need, then don't blame God for not answering. If two or three of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done. God wants you and I to be honest with others. Sometimes he wants us to be honest with others so we don't do it again. He wants us to be that way. And then he says, the prayer of a person living right with God is something powerful to be reckoned with. Elijah, for instance, human just like us, prayed hard that it wouldn't rain, and it didn't, not a drop for 3.5 years. Then he prayed that it would rain, and it did. The showers came, and everything started growing again. And I want to say something about this prayer of Elijah. If you read the Word of God, if you read in Kings where he did this, not once do we read that God told him to pray that the rain would stop. He prayed to God and said, God, if you'll stop the rain and they have a famine, they'll listen to you. Stop the heavens, and God stopped the rain. And then he prayed after he had that encounter with on Mount Carmel after sending the king there. And then the rain came. So, folks, our prayer is powerful. If we're living right and praying, God will hear and he will answer our prayers. We're talking about being honest with ourselves or with others. Is that we are not islands. We're not all by ourselves. God never meant for you to be alone in life. If God meant for us to be alone, he wouldn't have made woman. He said he saw that it was not good for a man to be alone. So he put him to sleep and he made a woman out of the rib. And it's about God, the man, the woman, God, the man, the woman, the children, and then it starts over, leave and cleave, and you have the nuclear family again. But God didn't intend for us to be alone. Now, if you don't have a spouse, you really need the church, because we really need each other. So here's the process. If we slip up, we confess our sins. If we commit offenses, we talk to our brothers and sisters. If there's false steps, if there's sins, any of this, you need to find confidence in somebody. You know how you do that? You tell them something that's not of consequence and see if it gets around. I'm just being honest, right? People say, who can I trust? Well, pray. First of all, find somebody that prays. Usually you can trust praying people because they're honest with God already. Now, it's like, okay, can I tell you something that you don't tell anybody else? Well, as long as it's not mandatory reporting, yeah. You know? So people will say, Pastor, this is what's going on. Okay, we're going to pray about it. And this is what the Word of God says you can do in order to overcome. And this is what's cool. And maybe I'm obviously different than everybody else, but once the problem is dealt with, I ask God to help me forget. And He does. What's my name? No, just kidding. No, is that God does help me to forget those things, because we're bearing those burdens. When the burden is lifted, you don't have to remember all that stuff. Just shovel it out the back door and move on with life. And we rejoice with those that rejoice. So in reality, we can come clean with God by coming clean with others. Isn't that amazing how it's interacting? You look at the Ten Commandments. You know, four of them are about our relationship with God, and six of them are about our relationship with mankind. And so the commandments is all about interpersonal relationships. It's about good relationships. If you want to have a good relationship with God, then connect with good people that are walking with God. And it will help you. That's why we need the church. God understands our humanity. He didn't say, hey, I think I'll robe myself in flesh to figure this out. He robed himself in flesh so we could figure him out. Not so he could figure us out. Now, there was the sacrifice of Calvary. Listen to Galatians chapter number 6 and verse number 1. He says, live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore him, saving your critical comments for yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day is out. The King James says, brother, if you see a brother overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such as the one in the spirit of meekness, lest ye be overtaken in a fault. The Phillips translation says, you who can stay spiritual, restore such a one. There's some things that we can't deal with and we just got to walk away from. But he says, we need to lovingly restore our brothers and sisters. So when we're talking about being honest with each other, if somebody's honest with you, lovingly restore them. The next verse says, stoop down and reach out to those who are oppressed, share their burdens, and so complete Christ's laws. If you think you are too good for that, you are badly deceived. See what he says? He says, stoop down and reach out. It's like the Good Samaritan thing, huh? Don't walk on by. If your brother asks for help, help your brother. If your brother needs prayer, pray for your brother or sister. Maybe just right then and right there, and it's amazing how quick God can answer a prayer. Because when people are at a point of vulnerability, their faith is high, their desperation is high, definitely, and their faith may be high also. And as you stand, I want to read 3 John, verse 2. Obviously, chapter number 1, there's only one chapter. It says, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Here it appears that sometimes our physical health is related to our spiritual health. He says, I want you to prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. God wants you to be prosper. He wants your soul to prosper. He wants your inner man to be fruitful. So, be honest with yourself and be honest with others. Doesn't it feel good to be able to share the truth with somebody? Say, you know what? Would you pray for me? This is what's really, really cool. I've seen this happen in the church many times. I've seen people say, hey, will you pray for me? Can we share this? Yes. And I'll call two or three people around to pray with them. And then when I'm all done praying, they're talking. And they're helping that individual. And oftentimes I'll call people that have struggled through the same issue that they're struggling with right now. And then it's amazing how good we feel when we realize there was somebody that had the same problem that now is overcome. And now we have hope that we can overcome that very same problem. Isn't Jesus good to give us one another? Isn't he wonderful to be faithful to you and I? Let's thank him for that. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us a safe place. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us a place where we can be honest with ourselves and honest with each other. I pray, Lord, that you would give us a spirit of honesty, that you would give us a spirit of truth, that you would give us a spirit of confidence, and let there be healing in our souls and in our bodies and in our spirits and in our minds, that we would be in health as our soul is in health. Minister healing, Lord, to all that are in this place. We want to walk out of here strengthened in the power of your Holy Ghost and confident in your word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. No matter what happens tonight, God is on the throne. Right? Who's the King of glory? Jesus, the Lord strong and mighty in battle, is the King of glory.